would you be able to express to some of these individuals the importance of having a vision and the importance of being true to that vision? Now, oftentimes, your vision will change as time progresses, but having a set of goals as to what you want to achieve in the program is important. And that's one of the things that I tell my colleagues or my friends who are interested in creating a program is to have an idea as to what you want the program to be. Go out there, speak with a lot of people, get advice from mentors, people who are willing to take the time to sit down and speak with you. And then also look at what's out there. Everyone will have a different strategy and a different approach to what they want their program to be. And now going into a program, you might have one vision or multiple visions, and then you might take a different direction. You might decide that you want to focus on a certain field or area that you never thought that you would approach. What is some advice that you can provide to someone who is interested in creating their own program, whether it be, let's say, a YouTube channel or an account on SoundCloud with a series of podcasts?
I would start with an overall theme. I find a lot of people are unsuccessful because they try and do too much, or it's not well enough defined what their plan is. And so determining a theme, a focus, and then deciding on a given format, that generally helps. When it comes to interviewing specifically, it helps to have questions laid out in advance, but also paying attention to the answers that you're being given, because sometimes those lead to other questions that you never even would have thought to ask because you didn't know that it was there to build on. And so active listening is extremely important, and knowing that just because you have a set series of questions doesn't mean you have to stick to it. You can stray as long as that's the way the conversation or the answers are being led. And so again, it comes down to adaptability.
Oftentimes what will happen sometimes is, well, every time, I always like to do as much research as possible about the person that I'm interviewing. And I will have anywhere from 12 to 15 questions. And then what will happen is, as I'm asking the person I'm interviewing question one, all of a sudden, the fourth question flows a lot better with the conversation, and it makes sense to ask question number five instead of question number two next. So that has happened, and sometimes I'll go into an interview, and I will conduct the interview, and there will be questions that I never asked that were on my list, because I felt that that would not necessarily flow. And now those questions might be better for another interview or another time or a part two. I completely agree with you, adaptability, and also being like aware of what the person is saying to you, like understanding that they might, with the response that you're receiving, they might want the interview to go in a certain direction. So active listening, and then also being engaged, because I think that for anyone who's going into an interview, it helps to do the research. And now, even if you make an error, everyone makes errors, but even if you make an error with some of your research, correct it and then keep moving, right? I know you have a lot of experience with communication and with dealing with events and then also organizing successful events. A lot of people who are involved in journalism or are in the media oftentimes attend a lot of events because it's a great way to network. One of the main points I wanted to make to the listeners today and to those who are interested in meeting people is to look at the events that are happening in the GTA. You know, you don't necessarily have to be invited by an insider. Some of these events are free. Some of these events you'll pay a fee for, but it's worth looking into and doing that research about what's happening, when is it happening, who are some of the main speakers at these events, because you never know. You might end up, you know, paying a small fee or attending an event for free, and you might end up being provided with an opportunity to receive advice from leading experts. So keeping your eyes open and listening to what's happening around you is crucial. And then also being involved and engaged, because, you know, you might be great at writing, or you might be great at creating videos, but unless you get your work out there, unless it's good quality work too, it has to be good quality. If it's poor quality, you're going to lose your credibility. The important thing is to know that you can take that next step and you can be involved, and you don't necessarily have to know or have people that are in the field and will provide you with an opportunity to be in that field and will take you in. You can make a name for yourself, but credibility and then also a lot of hard work and commitment, and also taking the initiative to look at what is happening and what difference you can make is very important. And now you might not want to necessarily network. You might just want that one person to be your advisor. But having more people, having a team of people that will give you feedback or will help you is better than that one person. And now everyone has a role model, and everyone has someone that they can always, most people do, they have someone that they can ask for feedback if they're producing work online, whether it be a podcast or a video. Everyone needs someone who will provide them with that constructive criticism. Because if you have someone who's reviewing your work and is only giving you compliments, that's a problem. Because I know when I started, I was fortunate enough that I had a few colleagues and a few friends that listened to my podcast, and they would give me advice. They would to this day, I get advice because I'm always learning something new. Journalism is a craft. And before you master, as you know, before you master the craft, you go through a process, and that process can take months or years. So I always get feedback, and I value that feedback, because that time that they spent listening to the podcast or watching that video, I not only was able to have them watch something, which they oftentimes express enthusiasm about, or they want to know what I'm working on, but I appreciate them listening to the podcast and also watching the videos. But I really appreciate the comments and the feedback, because you learn moving forward, and you know what not to do next time or what to improve on. So that process, I think that's the beauty behind journalism. And also, it's artistic. It's a form of art. I do view it as a form of art. I think that even if you're creating a podcast, you mentioned previously when we were talking about the National Public Radio, the NPR, and some projects that you worked on. And as a result of speaking with you, I met you at one of the conferences that was held at Ryerson University, Women and Peace and Security. And I have to say I'm very thankful, because had I not attended that conference, which I attend most conferences because I love networking with people, but had I not attended that conference, I wouldn't have met you. And I wouldn't have been able to receive all of the advice that you're providing me with. And I have to say that I've learned a lot from you, and I have a lot of respect for the work that you do. And certainly I'm looking forward to working with you on upcoming projects, roundtables. And I know here at the NATO Association of Canada, we have a lot of events, a lot of conferences, and a lot of things that happen throughout the year. So we highly value our members, and we are a very strong team of individuals here. I'm very excited about collaborating with you, and I sincerely want to thank you for your time today and for this interview.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.